Will you please be seated and pray with me? Father, I'm struck afresh by just how good it is for us to be here in your presence, to let the words of these beautiful songs, the words of Scripture, wash over us. Because before we can be a healing presence in the world, we have to experience healing in our own lives. So revive and refresh us today. Where we have become discouraged, we pray that you would encourage us through your Spirit. Where we've gotten off track, will you bring us back to where we need to be? Where we have lost the joy of knowing you, will you restore to us the joy of our salvation? If anything has taken hold of our heart, whether a substitute or a spirit of bitterness, will you set us free today? If something has come between us, will you reconcile us through the blood of Christ? We want to enter into the life that you died to bring us, so that we can then carry that life to those around us, whether it's our neighbors or people in our own families, whether it's the people we work with, friends in the community. We want to carry the life, the good news of Jesus, so may it first be realized in us. May we experience and respond to your great love. We invite you to speak words of life to us. And we pray these things with expectation. In Jesus' name, amen. So what most of you don't know is that yesterday, Mary Beth Jennings was the organizing force behind our annual district gathering. Her husband is our district superintendent, and we brought all of our churches and delegates together. And so she's here the next day playing the piano for us. I think if it was me, I would have been home eating Pop-Tarts. So thank you. Oh, okay. So thank you, Mary Beth. Hopefully you received as you walked in today an outline for today's message. We have them every week, but some weeks they're more important than others. And this is kind of an interesting passage. We are in Romans chapter 12 that Nancy read for us. And the Apostle Paul just kind of gives us a whole list of things, kind of a checklist for our relationship so we can experience peace with each other. So as I was writing this message, I thought, you know, this really doesn't lend itself to a three-point message. So today is a checklist, and we're going to spend about 2 or 3 minutes on each of the 10 elements. And so the whole idea is for you to use that. And what I'm going to come back to at the end of the message is this. I would like you to circle one or two things on this checklist that maybe God is speaking to you today about, like, here's something that I need to give some attention to. Now, some of you are going to be tempted to circle all 10. I know how you are. So don't do it, all right? Just one or two, and maybe you'll want to, just as we go through, kind of star one or like put a question mark, like maybe that's the one, but wait until the end. And then after the message, we're going to give you a response time just for you to just look at those 10 things and think, what is the Spirit of God saying to me today? Where is an area that I need to give attention? So can you imagine what your life would be like if you lived at peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with other people? What a great goal, huh? It takes effort to maintain these peaceful relationships, but I think it's worth the effort. Living in tension in your relationship with God, with yourself, and with other people is exhausting. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been studying Paul's letter to the believers in Rome, and we've talked about how to experience peace with God through Christ. Last week, Pastor Paul Gartley was with us here, and he talked about how to live at peace with ourselves, that if there's enough grace for God to forgive us, there's enough grace for us to forgive ourselves. And in the final part of Paul's letter, he turns our attention to living at peace with others. Now, why is that important? I would suggest it's important because God designed us to live in community. Jesus did such a beautiful job modeling that for us. He spent 3 years with those who would carry on his ministry, investing in their lives so they could watch him and learn from him. We were made to live in community. We're made to live in community for our own benefit and the benefit of others. I don't know about you, but I need the encouragement that I get from other people. I need help sometimes. I need others to teach me. And sometimes I need people I really trust to challenge me. And flip it around. Other people need the encouragement that I can give, the help that I can give, the teaching that I can give, the challenge maybe that God would use me to bring into their lives. Oh, and one more thing. People who do not yet love and follow Jesus are watching us. And if we can't get along with each other, why should they take us seriously? Right? If we, as followers of Jesus, can't get along with each other, why would they believe that this talk about Jesus is really good news? But if we can get along with each other, it's the strongest argument for the truth of who Jesus is. So we are in Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bibles or want to turn there on your phone. I'll be using the New International Version. And again, Paul is just rattling off a checklist. So let's get started. Love must be sincere. Well, Paul, what does sincere love look like? The real deal. Thanks for asking. Here we go. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Do the choices that I make affect other people? They do. When I make bad choices, when I sin, it drags me down and keeps me from bringing my A game to others. Sometimes we tell ourselves, this won't hurt anybody else, but it's not true. So the best thing that I can do for the ones I love is to follow Jesus and to obey God. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Let's keep going. Be devoted to one another in love. How many of you planted a kind of garden this year? Small one, big one? Yeah, lots. Is your garden self-tending? Every year I plant a garden and hope that this year will be the year when it tends itself. My wife says, you have more fun planting the garden than weeding it. And I'm like, guilty. But gardens need to be tended, right? Here's the deal. I started working when I was 13, and I spent 4 summers weeding onions. And so when it comes to weeding, I'm like, been there, done that. But a little attention goes a long way. And the same is true of our relationships. They do not tend themselves. They take time and attention, conversations, and time spent together. They thrive when we take time to cultivate them. So here's my question for you this morning. Is there a relationship in your life that needs to be tended? Somebody you need to talk to. Somebody you haven't talked to for a while, maybe something you need to work through. Is there a relationship in your life that needs a little loving attention? Be devoted to one another in love. Let's keep going. Honor one another above yourselves. Verse 10. Honor one another above yourselves. I think for most humans, it's true for me, my default setting is self-interest. Like, what's in it for me? My first thought is, what do I want? But my best thought is, what do you want? What do you need? Honor one another above yourselves. My mom taught me good manners. You hold a door for someone to enter first. You offer guests the first serving. You listen without interrupting. Honoring one another is simply practicing good manners. And it leaves the other person feeling important. So honor one another above yourselves. Let's keep going. Verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Well, how does this help us experience healthy relationships? For starters, when we keep the fires of our relationship with God tended, it keeps our hearts soft. Part of following Jesus is intentionally opening our hearts to God to correct and shape us. Have you ever had this experience, like you're just having a time of prayer and the Holy Spirit brings to mind something that you said the day before or a couple days before, and maybe you were right, but maybe your attitude wasn't right? And have you ever had to go back to someone and say, listen, I just need to apologize for my tone yesterday. I'm sorry. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Keep your heart tender to God. That will spill over into your relationships. And the other thing that a growing relationship with God does is that it says a lot without saying a lot. When our kids were growing up, they watched us a lot all the time, and we weren't perfect. But they not only watched us, but they joined us in serving God and other people. And our example influenced them then when they were children, and it still influences them today as adults. It says a lot without saying a lot. So never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Let's keep going. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. When, not if, hard times come your way, stand tall. Don't pretend you have it all together when you don't. Be honest, but stand tall. Hold on to what you believe. Hold on to God. When your loved ones face a hard time, walk through it with them. You don't have to have all the answers. There are some things in our lives that have no answers, but walk through it with them. Be their friend. You don't have to be a hero. Just keep holding on to God's hand. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. How you doing? All set? First five? Like, got them. Nailed it. Okay, well, there's five more. Let's see if we can find one for you here. Verse 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. If we say that we love the people we worship with, we will have an open hand with them. Now, you know we need to do this wisely. We don't want to reinforce bad habits. But since God has been generous with us, we love to be generous with others. This starts with, but does not end with, God's people. I was reading a book by Andy Stanley this week, and he said one of the things, you know, when the church was just starting out, they didn't like have money for a big ad campaign. They didn't have any impressive buildings, right? They had very little structure, but you know what they did have? Love. And so, like, when there was a huge illness that spread and people got away from it so they could stay safe, the Christians stayed in town and they served those who were sick. They were able to be generous, and they were like, who are you people and what makes you tick? What is this love? I mean, you're kind to people you don't even know. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. And we live in such a wonderful age that we can share with those who are the Lord's people who are not even in our own village, right? I mean, I love the fact I live in Springville. Do you know that we have, our church has the trading post in Springville? So I love that. I'm so proud of that ministry. But I also love that, like, there's a couple of places that I've been on the mission field, like Malawi and Haiti, that are so poor and are going through such a difficult time that you want to do it wisely, but we can share with those who are in need that are even in another country. That's who we are. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Also in verse 13, practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. This is one of the core values of our church. Starting in September, we're going to take a Sunday to look at all seven core values of our church. Becky Beers and I are working hard. It's going to be an all-church journey, so all the small groups and all the different age levels are going to participate in it. And one of our core values is hospitality. So that means that, like, when somebody comes to visit Bayview Chapel, like, every week we have guests, which is great. And we have wonderful greeters, which is great. But the most important person is the person who's sitting next to the guest, right? And so I have a favor to ask you. When somebody comes in and sits beside you that you don't know, I'd like you to look at them and smile. Don't be weird about it. Come on. And here I'm going to give you a little pointer. Hi, I'm John. Fill in your name. Because we want them to feel welcomed, right? To feel like, even though they don't know anybody and it's kind of weird, that you're welcome here and you can relax here. So I need your help with that. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Not just hospitality when people come to us, but it's opening our hearts and minds to people wherever we encounter them. Because they all matter to God. We want to take a sincere interest in others, especially those we come into regular contact with. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. So challenging. We're going to talk about this in greater detail next Sunday. But let's just say this. You can't have healthy relationships if your heart is trapped in bitterness. Right? Is that true? We can't have healthy relationships with anybody if our heart is trapped in bitterness. So keeping a heart free from bitterness is hard. It's so hard we can't do it without God's help. But here's good news. God wants to set us free from having bitter hearts. This is one of the areas in which we can participate with the Holy Spirit because God wants to set us free, and we need to cooperate with that. We need to, as part of our healing journey, we need to be participating with the Holy Spirit. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And is there plenty of hate in our world? Do the people of God need to add to it? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Just like the vocalist up here this morning, you know? They were singing in harmony with one another. One of the signs that our hearts are free is that we are able to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. A sign that our hearts are not free is the lack of empathy. The Germans have a word for this. It's called Schadenfreude. It's when we take delight in the suffering of another person. I've done it, and so have you. It means that our hearts are not free to love God and others. But when those I love rejoice, I want to be there with them, right? Rejoicing. When those I love mourn a loss, I want to stand in that grief with them. And by the way, People will want to hang out with you if you can do this, right? If you're there with them celebrating the good days, if you're there with them in the hard days too. One more. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Now, I'm going to say something. I'm going to use a theological phrase, but I'll go back and explain it later, okay? Don't get the big head. Don't get the big head. Don't walk by someone who's doing a simple job with your head in the air. Don't give the retail worker a hard time for something they can't control. Because here's something, they are people too. They're people just like us, right? Whoever we encounter, Jesus loves them just as much as he loves you. They have a family, a story, and a dream, just like you do. And besides, you have no idea who a stranger is, right? You have no idea. The person dressed in old clothes could have 10 times more money than you do, right? The person that you look over, they might have 10 times more wisdom and experience than you have. In over 35 years of pastoral ministry, I've discovered that my snap judgments of people are wrong about half the time. How about you? So don't get the big head. Be simple. Smile. Treat others with kindness like Jesus. You know, he got criticized for that, didn't he, when he was on earth? They're like, why do you hang around with all the wrong people? They can't help you politically. They've got no money. Heck, they don't even have any friends. They're outcasts. What's the deal? Like, you're a crazy guy. Why are you hanging around with these people that everybody else overlooks? Because he loved them. Okay, got your outlines? I've given you 10 things that are qualities of healthy relationships, and what I'm asking you to in the next couple of quiet moments, I'm just going to ask you to look down through that list and just say to God, you know, do I need to address one or two of these things? Holy Spirit, speak to me, because I want to live at peace with other people, and I know I have a part in that. So go ahead, take a look, and if you identify something, I'd like you to take the next step and say, what's one specific action step I can do this week to participate with the Holy Spirit on this? Go ahead. Father, it's so easy to get crosswise with somebody else. Relationships are tricky. We all understand that. But we want our hearts to be right. Jesus, you came to set us free from the destructive power of sin, and that includes our relationships. So we invite you to speak into our lives, not just in these moments when we're in church, but throughout the week. We want to listen for your voice and where you are calling us to something better, to respond in joyful obedience. Because the plans you have for us are so good. The life that you call us to lead is so healthy. The love that you show us through Christ is so powerful that it can change even us. And then you can show that love even through people like me. That's grace. So will you work in us? We want to have healthy relationships. But sometimes we get in our own way. So forgive us. Change us. Make us like the Lord Jesus that we love and follow. We thank you that your grace is sufficient not only to forgive us, but to transform us. May that begin today as we say yes to you. We pray all of these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.